Welcome to ACB Radio's Main Menu Live. Opinions expressed during the show do not reflect the views of ACB Radio or the American Council of the Blind, its members, employees, or board of directors. If you would like to participate in the live show at 2 hours Universal on Wednesdays, please call toll-free 866-400-5333. That's 866-400-5333.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Main Menu Live this week. This week, we'll be talking all things Macintosh. We'll be bringing on our panel of experts in just a minute. To get a hold of us tonight, you can reach us using Windows Live Messenger by adding mainmenu@acbradio.org or by sending us an email at mainmenu@acbradio.org. In addition, you can call us tonight, 866-400-5333, 866-400-JEFF. We'll be opening up those phone lines soon, so we'll let you know when you can start calling in. This week, we have another Access Watch review. Freedom Scientific just recently released a JAWS update. Let's find out more about it from Jamie Pauls from Access Watch.
Hi, this is Jamie Pauls with another Access Watch software review. Freedom Scientific has recently released an update to JAWS for Windows, which brings the version number to 9.0.2152. If you visit the Access Watch blog, you can find a link to the What's New page on Freedom Scientific's website. On a personal note, I'm still having some issues with the latest version of JAWS and GoldWave. Other than that, I have no complaints and things seem to be working as they should. Come visit us at accesswatch.info. You can find a link to our blog on our website, or you can subscribe to the blog at feeds.feedburner.com/accesswatch. Have a great week.
All right, now without further ado, let's bring in our panel. And by the way, if you're on Twitter, you can watch us there too. Twitter.com/mainmenu is where we can be found there. Hello, Daryl. How's it going?
Doing great this evening.
Great.
We have our panel on. We have Darcy and Holly, who've been on with us before, and we have Shane Jackson.
Oh, yes. Hello, Shane. Podcast. How's it going?
Hey, Jeff. Going great. You?
I haven't spoken with you in quite a long time.
It's been a good while.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll let you take the reins there, Daryl.
Excellent. All right. So it's nice to have all of you guys on with us again. Before we go too far into this, Darcy, would you like to tell us kind of what's happened in the Mac accessibility world since a couple of months ago when we had a Mac panel on? Are there any updates with Leopard or the Safari browser or VoiceOver?
Well, it's really we know that at some point in the not too distant future, let's going to come out with another with an update to Leopard. It's going to be 10.5.3, and I have to imagine, just because of the way luck seems to work, it'll probably come out tomorrow, being that we're talking about it tonight. So we don't know what's going to be in there, but there could be some voiceover stuff in that regard. But and the thing is, with Apple, you never know when it's going to come out. They're very very secretive about all that sort of thing. Let's see, what else has been going on? I know there was some... I'm not sure when... I can't remember now when CSUN was, but I know that... I think
in CSUN early March.
Yeah.
Mid-March, I should say, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we've been on here since then.
No.
So I know that Apple was at CSUN, and they did say things like that they're... You know, the people asked about the problems like with iTunes and Safari and stuff like that, and they did say that those are things that work. So we should hopefully be seeing something in the not too distant future with regards to that. Let's see, Holly, what else has been?
There's anything with the dock where the list view works now. You can put folders on the dock, and then if you press enter on it, you can look at the contents. You don't have to, you know.
Right. So that came in 10.5.2, And that's
can
a
we
feature.
Describe that a little bit more for?
Yeah, I was trying to, I knew that wasn't making much sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the dock is kind of like a combination of the taskbar and maybe the desktop. Like basically, the dock has all your running programs on it, but you can also put shortcuts to anything you want. So, but one of the things you could do, and they kind of got rid of this in Tiger, or when Leopard first came out, is you could put a folder on there and you would get like a list view of its contents. And they took that feature out when Leopard first came out because they had it being like a more visual thing. There was like a fan, like they would visually fan out, and this didn't work with VoiceOver at all. But they added the list view thing back in, so we can use that feature again. And actually, it's funny because the list view was something that even sighted people were saying they wanted back. So we have that feature back. So you can put folders on there. I've got, like, for example, my downloads folder on there. So anything that, you know, I download from the internet goes in there, and I can quickly launch it from that point. So yeah, that's definitely something that has made things a little bit better. What else were we going to talk about, Holly? Do you remember?
They did mention, apparently at the CSUN presentation on iTunes, they mentioned that they were still working on the idea of having accessible iPods. So I don't know. They didn't say much about it, I don't think, but they just said that they were looking into it. And
okay,
so.
Well, that's good potential news as well, then.
Yeah.
I've heard that there was a recent update controversy with Safari. Was that on the Mac or was that on Windows?
That I think was just on Windows. As I understand it, on Windows, if you had iTunes, it would list, when you run update, it would list Safari as one of the updates, even if you didn't have Safari installed.
Oh,
so
I
a
see.
Lot of people inadvertently installed Safari, even if they didn't necessarily want it.
Gotcha.
But I think they've changed it now. I think they've changed the wording so it's listed under optional components.
They have come out with an update that fixed that issue just a few days ago.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So it's not, if you don't want Safari and you have iTunes on the Windows side, then you know you won't get it. So that's something that I know that annoyed a lot of people in the. I know on the various tech podcasts that we listen to, there were some people who weren't happy about that. So it's
oh yeah, absolutely. I know Allison talked about it a little bit. Allison Sheridan and other tech podcasters
talked about it quite a bit over on the Buzz Out Loud podcast.
Right.
One thing today, and this isn't, and actually it's kind of disappointing, is that Microsoft today released their new version of the Messenger for the Mac.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently it's almost accessible. Like it's just got a bunch of Josh DeLinecourt wrote up a review of it over on linecourt.com. It should be the first story on there if people want to look at it. And apparently it has some weird focus issues. Like if you can't get into the message area unless you go into like preferences first or something. It's really odd. Like it's almost like his opinion on it was that it was almost like, you know, they just didn't do any accessibility testing. But it almost could have worked. There was just some bugs that needed to be squashed. So hopefully, you know, Microsoft will, you know, improve that at some point, because that's something. I mean, there are alternate ways of doing it. Like there are ways of using MSN, like the MSN, like chatting with other programs, but people do want MSN on the Mac, obviously, because it's something they're used to. So we're hoping that at some point, you know, Microsoft will fix it. But on the other end, this isn't exactly news because it's been around for a little while. But I know Holly and I have both started playing with Twitter, and there's a program on the Mac called a Twitter client on the Mac called TwitterPod, which is really accessible. So we're pretty happy about that.
Oh, so that's that is actually a Twitter client that's accessible on the Mac?
Mm-hmm. It's called TwitterPod. So it's really good. We've both just recently gotten into the Twitter thing and been having a lot of fun with that.
We realize that, you know, we're like the last people, but but I'm totally addicted to it now.
Yeah. So
Twitter can be pretty good, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Now if you access Twitter on the web, does it work well on the
web? Oh yeah.
Web?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, really, the Twitter website isn't that complicated, though. I mean, it's not...
Right.
It's a pretty straightforward website. So, yeah, it works just fine on the Mac. It works. It's good. But just the client's nice, too, because it just... It just shows all the Twitter things in, like, a table, and you just interact with them, and you can see, like, you know, who they're from. And,
Someone's got a lot of noise coming through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's coming through my end.
Sorry
about that.
Over there.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
No problem. I was trying to figure out what was going on and where it was.
Yeah, it's a TV in the background.
Yay. All right.
don't worry, I'm not watching it. I can't watch it.
Okay, so so that's good to know. So Twitter's pretty usable on with the Safari web browser and VoiceOver.
Oh yeah.
All right, Shane. So tell us from I know that you have been a loyal Windowize user on Windows for quite some time. I believe you've used Windowize in the past, and now you've switched over to the Mac. So tell us a little bit about that experience and. What it was like for you doing so.
Well, you're correct. I used Windows from 95 all the way up to 2007. And I still think it's, a top-notch product on the Windows side, and I still encourage people to use it in my day-to-day dealings with blind people. And I switched to Mac in December. I never liked Windows at all. I'd never gotten used to it. I started off on an Apple and wanted to keep using it, but as you know, the Mac operating system was not very accessible, except for Outspoken, which I never had. I've actually used it a few times, but I never had it, purchased it. And so when I heard that Leopard was going to be accessible, and Tiger actually was when I started listening with Jerry Hallaton and Scott Howell and John Gunn did reviews for Main Menu and showed how accessible the Mac was and all this stuff. And I said, I gotta have this. And we were able to purchase a Mac laptop, a MacBook, and I spent 3 weeks, and you can ask my wife, she'll tell you that I did nothing for 3 weeks, maybe more than that, except learn how to use the Mac OS. And I learned the insides of it, the outsides of it, ups, downs, good parts, bad parts. And I'm now subscribed to probably 40 Mac podcasts that I listen to, usually 5 or 6 of them on a daily basis. And I'm proud to say that the Screenless Switchers was the first.
All right.
but as you know, the Blind World blog and podcast just got a new facelift, and we'll be doing a lot more Mac stuff on the Blind World blog and podcast. That's mine, because I've been doing tutorials for years, and I love to do it, and the more I can show people how to use, and I go out, Daryl, on limbs and use programs that nobody else would even think about using. And as far as the switch goes, I learned one thing, and that is you must get rid of everything you learned in Windows if you're going to truly become a Mac user. Now, if you're going to stay cross-platform, you probably won't change that much, and I know people that do that. But for me, I left Windows cold turkey. I chose to do that, and I don't even have Windows on my Mac right now. I probably will in the future because of the nature of my company. But I do everything productively on the Mac, and so there was a learning curve. It was not too steep of a learning curve because I found everything to be easier on the Mac. And then just when I thought I had it figured out, browsing the web and enjoying the internet, they come out with everybody on the list starts talking about groups mode. And I had learned everything there was to know about the Mac except one little thing, groups mode. And I had to figure that out. So I spent last week.
Now tell us what is groups mode.
What happens is let's say you go to Google.com, in DOM mode, or direct object model, I think it's called, or
document object model, yep.
That's correct. It is laid out in a, you can bow right through everything. Like it'll go link, 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 heading, 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 heading. In groups mode, you might see something like you vote, and vo, of course, I'm talking about the VO keys. It's a control and option
right.
that you hold down when you press the right arrow. You're going to see something that says home, shop, explore, visit, support, technical, you know, contact, all in a group. And the way you interact with it, and then the links show up, or a key example where this comes into play, let's say you look up Daryl Shandro on Wikipedia. And Daryl, I truly hope you're not there yet, but Daryl Shandro on Wikipedia. Yeah, I know. But in DOM mode, you would have to go down basically, I think it's chunk by chunk or paragraph by paragraph, something like that. And it would say link this, link this, link this, link that, because Wikipedia links everything. Well, in group mode, you get to the first heading, you hit VO down arrow, sit back and listen to a good bit of it. No link, 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 link. You don't hear that. You have to actually interact with the group before you get the link. So it's a more efficient way of browsing, in my opinion. It can
so
be different.
Groups, so do I understand correctly that groups mode groups the different types of page elements together? So it groups the text together, it groups the links together, it groups the headings together.
It doesn't really link them by element.
Like if you're going to read a paragraph, say you move into a paragraph, it'll read you the paragraph, and that paragraph might contain links. And
absolutely.
if you interact with it, you'll see the links on that particular
right.
paragraph. And the other thing that's worth noting, that the thing that I really like, I think it can be frustrating for new people, but it can be really powerful for experienced people, is the fact that when you're in groups mode, you have more of a two-dimensional view of the page. Like, you know, there can be things in columns, and there can be, and if you know your way around a page, you can get around it much faster. Like, I think you can get through a page much faster than you could in Windows, even with all the navigation things, if it's a page you're familiar with. So
yeah, but the reverse of that would be, if you don't know the page, you get yourself lost really quickly. So
yeah.
you have to decide right up front whether you want to, and I'll tell you something about groups mode. If you're using Adium or Skype chat facility, you better turn groups mode off because it doesn't work. You have to use DOM mode, like in the chat windows in Skype and programs like that, because man, groups mode wreaks havoc with it. And I found my first page last night that doesn't work with groups mode, so I had to go back to DOM mode. But it doesn't matter. It's just another way of viewing a page. And like he said, it presents the page in a two-dimensional,
right.
Like a sighted person would see it.
Right. Like if a sighted person told you, okay, well, there's a list of links on the right-hand side, you can kind of tell that it's on the right, or you can even tell them, okay, I'm finding this on the right hand. You have more of an idea of what the page looks like.
Exactly.
And I think that can be more useful because, I mean, you sometimes, because I know I've had people before in the Windows world, like sighted people, try and explain to me where a link was, and I couldn't find it because, you know, obviously in Windows you have, you know, one column, then the next column, then the next, like it's a very linear way of looking at things. And I think in a lot of ways, the group mode is more powerful. But you're right; it does. There are things it doesn't do.
Say that I haven't had any trouble with groups mode in the chat windows. I can use it, so I don't know if that's a system issue or what.
It's just not knowing the page. But the thing about it is, he's right. When you use DOM mode, you could go forever and not find a link. You know, it'd be 60 mm-hmm. links down the page.
Yeah.
And, But I say if you're going to teach people to use the Mac, you need to use the groups mode first.
Yeah. And I think also groups mode is more kind of indicative of how the rest of the Mac works. Like when you're looking at a window in another program, you know, you might see a table or a list or something like that, and then you interact with that list to get the information. So, and that seems to, I'm sure people hearing that is thinking, okay, that sounds kind of tedious, but in actuality, like say for example you're trying out a new program, you know, things are a lot more organized where, you know, sometimes, you know, in Windows you download a new program you want to try out and you start looking at it with your you know, your mouse cursor, your JAWS cursor, or whatever, like if there's not, you know, if there's custom, and it can just look like chaos. So it's more organized in that sense.
Agreed.
So I like you said, I'm the same way as you are, Shane. Like I'm always, you know, trying new pro. Like I'm the type of person who will try a program, you know, before asking if anyone else, you know, just jump in and see what. And sometimes I found stuff that doesn't work, but more often than not, I've found things to work, you know, right out of the box, you know, usually reasonably well, and it, like, well enough that I can use them. Maybe they're not perfect, maybe not all the buttons are labeled or something, but it, I've been really happy in that sense.
Unlabeled buttons have never stopped us before, has it?
No.
Now, VoiceOver, it still doesn't have a facility for labeling those, does it?
No, because it. Go ahead, Shane.
There is a way, but it involves programming. In other words, I think Greg Kearney was talking about a way that you could actually do it, but there's still no auto labeler per se yet.
I think basically what he's doing is actually going into the application itself and getting out the, like, actually changing the
attributes of the buttons.
Yeah, like adding the text labels and stuff to the buttons themselves. So, yeah, there's not a way for kind of the end user to do that yet. So that's still a problem. But I mean, like you say, I mean, how many times in Windows do you get a program that maybe there aren't scripts for or set files for, and you have all these buttons and you just got to kind of play around with them? And
yeah, have you ever been on a Flash website with Windows Eyes and hear button?
Yeah.
Can't label those. You don't know what they are.
No. Yeah. So.
Okay, I believe that Jeff, do we have a call?
Not yet. We'll open the phone lines now, Daryl.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if we. Yeah, sorry about that. Let's go ahead and do that at 866-400-5333. We have someone who Jesse would like to call in and talk with us all about Adium.
All right, which he likes.
All right, they're open now, everybody. So 866-400-5333.
Give a little bit of background.
Hang on, just a sec. Go ahead, Jeff.
Oh no, I was just letting you know that the lines are open and 866-400-5333. So, Jesse, give us a call or anyone else that wants to join in on the call tonight.
Excellent.
But I just wanted to let people know that Adium, if anyone's ever used a program, like, I know in Windows, a program I really liked was Miranda, and it was like a multi-protocol instant messenger. You could use MSN, AIM, ICQ, Yahoo. Adium's the same thing. It's that you can use a bunch of different protocols. So if you have all these different accounts, you can have them. You can still use them on the Mac side.
Okay, and so even though the MSN Messenger client for the Mac is still not
right.
fully accessible, you can access the
right.
service with Adium?
Oh yeah.
Right.
Yep. Same as in Windows if you wanted to use Miranda or Trillian or whatever. I don't even know I'm sure there's other ones now that I'm not familiar with, but it's a program like that.
Excellent.
And Adium just came out with a new version, I think last night or today, because it asked me to update. And I actually use MSN and AOL, AIM both with Adium. It'll do both accounts.
Oh, good. Yeah. Jesse is here.
Go ahead, Jesse.
Hey, how are you guys
Welcome
doing?
To Main Menu.
How's everyone doing tonight?
Wonderful.
Yeah, I'm good. I am an Adium user from early in the beta days when Adium was out as a beta product. And it has matured itself gradually. Actually, it was thanks to me and a couple friends of mine that Adium is as accessible as it is today.
Oh, great.
I actually got a hold of the developer, and I went to him, hey, I want to use your program, but there's a problem. I am blind, and I cannot access the content area, and it is becoming a nuisance going through the chat logs. He's like, oh, wait a second. There's something going on here, and he emails me a couple days later. He goes, go and download this file and give it a try. And all of a sudden, I'm like, huh?
I just said, well, there you go. There's the willingness of a developer to do the right thing and the power of accessibility evangelism, right?
Yep. Yeah, that's true. But it is a really good program. It does have a lot of power when it comes to letting you know of events or ways of letting you know of events. For example, you can have it where when someone comes online, it will say in whatever system voice you have, Darcy is online or Daryl is offline. And also it has like unavailable or idle status as well. It has a bunch of different events.
Yeah, and you can have it talk, you can have it play sounds, you have a bunch of choices
mm-hmm.
there, so.
Yep.
I like, what I like, you know, mm-hmm. I've heard all of you talk, I've heard, you know, Gordon's been on here, we've had Jerry on here, and we've had a couple of different people, others on here. It seems like these programs, is it right that these programs feel relatively integrated with the rest of your system, rather than just as sort of add-on?
Yeah,
kind of.
I would say so. Yeah,
you know how in the Braille note or other note takers how keystrokes are universal. Let's say if you're in the word processor or the calendar or the email or the keystrokes and the functions are the same as much as they can be. It's the same way in OS X. Command comma is always preferences. Command period is stop. Command P, usually print or whatever, play if you're in an audio. It's universal. In other words, everything integrates as one happy system, usually.
I would say that's true. You know, Command N is almost always new, whatever.
Right.
Like if you're in mail, it's a new mail message. It could be a new
Command
window.
Shift D. Yep.
So it's
well, most things use the spell checker like that. They can access the spell checker.
Oh, and it's the same experience across all your programs?
It is,
yes.
For the spell checker? Wow.
But it's really cool. Personal. I mean, I've always said, I've always loved the Mac ever since I got my hands on one. And I'm basically, I only use Windows at work. Or if I got to do something with my smartphone. You know,
right.
I can install an application or something, but...
Oh, well, Jesse, tell us about syncing your Windows Mobile. Tell us about syncing your Windows Mobile smartphone with the Mac.
Well, I did it for a point. There is a little application that you can buy, which I haven't bought it yet. I had a trial of it, and then I decided not to use it after a while, but it is called the Missing Sync. It is at www.missingsync.com, I believe.
Markspace.
Markspace.com. Yeah. And there's a bunch of Markspace. They have different... It's basically an active sync for the Mac. It's so much so that when you plug it in, it even does the little active sync noise when you plug in a device. But it will synchronize it. It does work. It does something that Microsoft Active Sync doesn't do, which it takes your text messages and it puts them into, you can actually view them in like another application called Text Message Viewer.
Yep.
And you can actually view your messages. You can view... It integrates really, really tight with, Address Book.
Address Book, iCal, too.
And also with iCal. It integrates really well. Supposedly, you can use, I think you can sync your iTunes library with Windows Media or something. I mean,
I've never tried that one.
Yeah, I've. So you have somewhat kind of a partial iPod-like thing with Windows Media. It's a really cool application. I think it's like, what, Shane, like $30, $40, I think?
It is, yeah. It's about $40.
And
it's a great little program. It works wonderfully with a singular or AT&T 8525, I can tell you that.
It's a great program. They have different versions. They even have For instance, they have missing sync for iPhone. They have missing sync for BlackBerry. They even have it for the Sony PSP, which I don't know why they would have that. I think it's as a file explorer in that case. But they have it for all types of systems. It's really cool. And and yes, like Darcy and Holly said, they're addicted to Twitter. I'm addicted to Twitter just as much as they are. Practically.
Well, we've all been, a number of us have been tweeting, that's for sure. Well, Jesse, thank you very much for calling and giving us all this wonderful additional information there.
Yep. I mean, if anything, just let me know. Any help I can give to you guys in reference to the Mac. I mean, there's a lot, going on now with the Mac, and it just keeps getting better and better and better.
That's for sure.
Absolutely.
Nice to talk to you, Mr. Shane, and Jesse. Darcy and Holly.
Yep.
Absolutely.
All right, guys.
You have a good night, Jesse. Thank you for calling Main Menu.
All right, you too.
All right. We have a question from Dan. He asks us about how to handle same page links on a website. He's not having a little trouble getting that to work, and he's wondering if you guys had any tips for...
That's tricky. That's tricky to get working, but it's simply... I've gotten them to work just by clicking on them, essentially, sometimes.
Well, the problem I've had with same page links, and you have to be really careful, especially in groups mode.
Now let's let people know, when we're talking about a same page link, we're talking about an item on a web page that you click, and instead of opening up a new web page or new website, the page changes, or it goes to another
part of that static page.
Right.
It's not a visited link, and a lot of times I get that confused, but you have to be careful, because if you click it, you don't get, at least I don't get most of the time, you don't get the Mac noise, that because the page hasn't moved, it just changed the text. So I forget, I keep pressing it, and it's not doing anything, and then I come out of the group and arrow over, and there's the new text. So it works fine, it's confusing sometimes, you have to get used to it.
So how do you do? Which command do you use to do that? How do you do that?
Do you use the normal? Go ahead.
You use the normal click link. The way you normally click a link.
Like voiceover space, which is the normal activate. Like in the case of Safari, it's click links.
Dan's saying that's what he's doing. So he needs to be in groups mode.
No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what he's in. He's gonna have to get past all the links, because even if he clicks it. He's in DOM mode. He's still going to have to go past all the links to see that the page has changed.
It doesn't.
I think
move
it's kind
or
of tricky. It's sort of tricky. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. It's not.
Right.
It's not always consistent with the same page links, which can be kind of frustrating. If you're on a large page.
That is a bug or feature request, right?
VoiceOver. Yeah. I would say so.
Either that, or it's just a different way of doing it. That's the way I prefer to look at it. It's a different way of doing it. They do need to come up with some features though, where you can get past all the links.
Yeah, if I click on it, I mean, in Windows, if I, from a productivity point of view, from a business point of view, if I click on a same page link, I expect to go there. So,
well,
you guys all got a right to accessibility at apple.com and ask them to take a look at that.
But if you're in groups mode and you know the page, you can certainly do that quickly.
Okay.
Hey, Daryl, we have another caller.
All right, Mike, go ahead and bring them in.
Mike has joined us. Hello, Mike.
Hello. Got several questions here. First off, I'm a Windows user. I actually work in tech support for a living, so I am a techie by trade, but I've thought about getting a Mac, actually, very seriously considering it. And for you guys, maybe if you have time at some point, for Darcy and Holly and all these, maybe we could hook up on Skype or something, because I've got more questions than I can ask here.
Well, we have a bit of time, so we'll let you ask a couple questions, and we'll let you keep going, okay?
off, and I'll take them one at a time, and then if you want to put them all in a bunch, we can do that. But how accessible on the Mac is the Mac version of Skype?
It's really very accessible. I actually like it better than the one that's on Windows, the version that's on Windows.
Okay, great.
The only limitation about this Mac version is you can't see when somebody's online or offline or away.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I forget about that. But yeah, you're right.
Okay. All the Macs nowadays, too, I don't know when they started doing this, but any Mac you would get now, a new one, would use the Intel processor, correct?
That's right.
Okay. What I have thought about doing with mine, I don't know if you guys have any experience with this. I know you can run... what is that called? Parallel to run Windows. But what I would probably do on mine, if I got one, is use Boot Camp. Have anyone of you used that?
Here's the deal with running Boot Camp as opposed to running a virtual machine. If you virtualize Windows and you get hit by a virus or whatever, all you have to do is delete that virtual machine and start over. I've always been afraid that if I go with Boot Camp, you're actually booting into Windows. In other words, you're shutting down the Mac and booting into Windows, and if you get hit by a virus, it can hit your boot sector on your hard drive. So VMware Fusion is certainly my option. That's what I would do because it's a virtual Windows environment. Now, you do sacrifice performance because you're actually still running the Mac system, but you're virtualizing Windows.
For me, I would use Boot Camp. That decision for me is set in stone.
Yeah. Well, you'd have to be careful with your viruses and stuff.
Well, sure. I mean, that's...
The other thing about VM, another thing to consider, is you can install Windows without Zayed Assistance. If you go Boot Camp, you'll have to have Assistance. But, I mean, if you think that you would rather have Boot Camp,
how do you install Windows with the virtual without Zayed Help?
I've not done it, but I know that it can be done.
Absolutely.
I haven't done it yet, so...
There was a demonstration last year from Gordon...
Gordon Smith.
Smith,
yeah.
All showing. It was very impressive. I have to tell you, he just put in, he answered some prompts and put in the Windows key and pressed a couple of buttons, and man, it just installed everything. And
probably what it did, I would think, is if when he did it, it probably created a response file, is what it did, most likely,
right.
Which I do have for XP, and yeah, if you have one of those, it does help tremendously. Most of the install for Windows then works well, and then when you get to the point when you're at the desktop to finish it, you can hit Windows U and Narrator. It'll take you the rest of the way, which is what I did on mine. But what's really nifty I know about the Mac is you can actually totally install the OS without Zayed. You actually boot off of the OS CD, and then you just run the voiceover.
I've done that several times.
That is so awesome.
Very cool, yeah.
That is, and I know the Vista now, you can do answer files for that, but it's totally different than XP, and it seems like it's much more difficult to create.
Hey, Mike, one of the things that we've heard from a number of places is that XP actually runs faster on a Mac than it does on Intel, Intel-based hardware, so... Well, I don't know what that exactly means, but I find that very interesting.
I would probably go with XP. Admittedly, I don't really have any intent on going to Vista at this point. Number one, I don't need to, and number two, well, of course, you can disable it, but because I do tech support with people that use Vista, and I'll tell you what, those user account control things, that would drive me crazy.
I think Windows XP does better in a virtual environment on the Mac anyway than Vista.
Vista uses far more power.
The only thing about Boot Camp that I was reading about, which I don't know how they expect you to get this, but you've got to actually have a Windows XP Service Pack 2 disk. Mine, at least my actual Windows OS CD, is Service Pack 1. Now, I do have Service Pack 2 on a DVD, so I could install it.
I think they actually want you to buy another copy of Windows, essentially. I think is
yeah,
what
and I'm,
really
I'm
what
not sure why they want you to do that, but because Apple wouldn't gain anything. But
maybe they're just trying to make sure that everything is. Yeah, I don't know. That just
on the up and up.
On the up and up.
But
yeah.
I did read the voiceover user's guide, and yeah, it is a bit different, because you interact with the different things. Here's what I picked up kind of so far, just from reading the voiceover user's guide, and you guys can tell me if I'm on par with it, because I, admittedly, I was doing some, you know, Windows and Mac comparison, though I know they're totally different, but I was just kind of, you know, it's kind of how I think. The dock, like you were saying, it's like a taskbar, and you can also put folders down there that you can open. You've got the Finder, and I also did use a Mac in college with Outspoken, so that probably comes in handy, too, a little bit. The Finder, basically, you've got the desktop. I would almost think of the Finder in some ways kind of like, though not exactly, like Explorer, almost, because you can change the view, a list, icon view. Although I would probably set it for a list view. And it sounds like what it does with the VoiceOver cursor when you use the, I think it said you hold like the Control and the Option keys, and then you press the left and the right, you know, keys to go left and right, down and up, and then to interact, you hold the Shift key with that, with the down arrow key. But it sounds like by default, at least, what it does when you move the VoiceOver cursor around, you are also moving the keyboard focus. And then with the Control and the Option and the space bar, that's essentially, I guess, kind of like your mouse click.
You're exactly correct. But one thing that needs to be noted, and I think it's an important thing, all those cursors can be changed. In other words, when you go into the VoiceOver option, you can change which cursor follows which cursor. In other words, mouse,
right,
cursor, keyboard focus. So you're right.
Right, and then you can,
by default, they follow each other.
Of course, you've got your folders, and then when you open your application, well, then they gave some command keys. I think it was command Q, quits, command C, you know, copies. Really, it's, I mean, no, it's not the same as Windows, but with just a little reading, and I haven't even used a Mac yet, but do I sound like at least somewhat on my way to understanding it?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You got a pretty good handle on it.
Sure.
Yeah, I'd love to be able to talk to you guys actually on Skype, too, so I can, there's a lot of other questions I've got before I actually got one, but I am thinking about it. What about, do Macs have a BIOS like PCs do that you have to flash and that kind of thing?
No.
Occasionally they'll come out with a firmware, and you just install it like you would any other update. I think you have to, there's a couple more steps involved, like pressing the power button or something like that. But normally, no, it's just a firmware.
And there's no CMOS setup, I guess, that you have to
do.
No,
no.
See, that's a good thing, because...
Man, that's one thing that makes me want to do it right there, is none of this...
Whenever you get a new computer, the
Mike,
first
are you
time
near,
you gotta get...
Are you near an Apple store? You could go in and check one out, or...
I was just going to suggest that, go into an Apple
store. Yeah,
and,
there is one actually here that I could go check out. And I
Mike, they are very awesome. They will help you, at least that's my experience. They will help you. They will let you use the keyboard. They will turn the computer on, make sure it's on the internet, let you browse. You know, you can always use VoiceOver K, which is the keyboard help. You can also use the VoiceOver, what is it, VoiceOver Command F8 for the quick start.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think VoiceOver F7 brings up the like the VoiceOver control panel, if I remember right.
Right, but this is a quick start that you get when you turn when you first turn the Mac on. It will say something like, if you're new to VoiceOver, press enter or whatever to get to the quick start. And you can actually bring that up later, and it goes through sort of the basic commands. It takes you through that in like a tutorial style. So I found that really helpful when I first got my Mac, to go through that at first. So
speaking
you
of
can
browsing,
just bring that up with Leopard.
That brings me to a question. In Safari, when you use the DOM access, I know the group thing, that sounds interesting. When you use the DOM one, I guess, is it somewhat like the way the Windows screen readers do it, or does it put like each link on a separate line and that type of thing, or is it...
Apple doesn't use a virtual buffer per se, but yes, DOM would be more like the screen reader, the Windows screen reader way of doing it, as opposed to group mode, which is totally foreign to Windows.
What about, it's a shame that even you have to ask this, but at this point it's reality, so we have to go with it. What about when you go to a site where some of the links are not labeled and you get to a link, does it tell you, like a lot of the Windows screen readers will tell you at least what the URL is that it points to, so if it's not labeled, you can at least find out what, you at least might have some idea what it does, or does it just say, you know, link, but nothing, nothing else. And then what about telling the form fields? I would think what you would do there with VoiceOver is you do your VoiceOver cursor when you're reading, and then when you get to a field, like an edit box or something. Well, actually, in that case, if your keyboard focus is set to follow the VoiceOver focus, I would think you wouldn't even have to press Control-Option-Space when you get to the edit box. If you got your keyboard focus set to follow the...
No, you don't have to do anything.
It should just already be there.
And to answer your question about the links, I can give you examples on Audible. When you go to the checkout, it'll say BTN underline and checkout this. You know, it does say that, but a lot of times it just says link. But like I said, there are examples where it will try to tell you what it is, and you have to listen to it very carefully.
When it says link, also, too, you can press a key combination and get the URL that it's pointing to, so that helps as well. It almost sounds like
it's better, because if you don't need to know, then it doesn't tell you too much, and if you do need to know, there's a
exactly. I kind of like it better. Yeah,
that's it.
Probably several settings too in the system preferences. I was reading in VoiceOver that you can probably optimize. You can probably, I don't know if the Mac allows you to disable any of the visual stuff. You certainly wouldn't need that.
You can tell VoiceOver to only take you through those links that have labels. Otherwise, it won't see them. Like if the link doesn't have a tag, VoiceOver you can enable or disable the links that don't.
I mean, so what about in the system preferences too? I'm not talking about the browser anymore now. I'm talking about in your system. I know there's in the VoiceOver user's guide too. We're talking about how to get to that. What is it? Let's see. Control Option M to go to your menu bar, and then Apple, and then you'd probably press your, I guess, Control Option down arrow to get to the item you want. Probably System Preferences, and then you press Control Option Space to actually select it, and then you can actually. I would think the way it would probably give it to you, again, I'm just guessing, I've never used one, but you'd probably see like all the different tabs of your system preferences, and then when you wanted to actually go into one of those, you'd probably, I guess, either press Control Option and then Shift and the down arrow key to interact with that, or press the Control Option Space to actually click that.
Using the example that you're giving, if you go into System Preferences, you're correct about how to get to it. You can also get to it from the dock. But once you get in there, you VO right across the different tabs, and whichever tab is selected, it'll say Selected Tab. So it'll say like General Selected Tab 1 of 3.
That would make sense, because if your keyboard focus is following the VoiceOver cursor, if you leave that enabled, then as you move to the right, it would move the focus and probably select each tab there.
It doesn't. You have to hit VO space on the tab. Like if you move across to the next tab, you have to hit the VO space to select that tab.
That's basically like your mouse click, I guess.
Yeah.
And then somewhere, VO. Yeah.
No, I don't think it's the same.
Well, there are times that you have to mouse click, but most of the time the VO space. The VO space is basically the default action, pretty much. Like, if it's a link, it clicks on that link.
Yep. Does the VoiceOver, I guess, does it have a mouse click command, too?
There is, yes.
Yes.
Yep, there's a mouse click command.
And then you can also
there's drag and drop commands. There's all the mouse commands you'd expect there to be. There's, like, root there mouse, VoiceOver, and...
I know VoiceOver Shift-M was basically, like, your... Well, as Windows calls it, the context menu, I think. And the Mac calls it the shortcuts menu.
It sounds like you know quite a bit about it, Mike, and it sounds like you're ready to switch.
Well,
I would recommend an Apple Store. Also, we forgot to mention this before, but in Chicago, and I don't remember when this is happening now, but they're doing a workshop at the Apple Store on VoiceOver.
Yeah, so if you're in the Chicago, if anyone's in the Chicago area, you might want to look that up.
I don't remember when it is.
It's
on
the Saturdays.
May 23rd? Yeah. May 23rd or something
like that? Well, where I work at, actually, they've got some Macs, and I thought about maybe taking some time and, playing with one there.
Yeah,
you know,
go for it.
Yeah, because you sound like you have a pretty good handle on the commands, so just
you can't mess anything up. Just go in and just play around. You can just, that's the nice thing about the Mac. I mean, every Mac has VoiceOver.
Yeah, format their hard drive. That works.
Yeah, I.
that's easy to do on the Mac, right?
In the system preferences, what stuff have you guys changed, or what are good stuff to change? Is there anything that can be that's a good thing to change to make it easier or more accessible?
Not really. That's no. That's actually one difference. Like, I know when in Windows, I remember in WindowEyes, I don't know if it's still like this, but when I used to use it, there was, like, a whole section of the manual that told you all the things you should change to make it work best with, like, you should change in Windows.
Yeah. It isn't, and now it works regardless, although there are some things that I always tell people to do, which I help several people change their Windows stuff. One thing I like, well, there's a couple things. What I do in my computer is I set it to view by list, and then the other thing I do, the main thing is in my computer, I actually disable the folders option, because what happens is when you're arrowing up and down and reading, like, your drives and stuff, if there's nothing in the drive, a lot of times it'll say there's nothing in the drive, so you disable that, and then you've basically just got one thing, you know, your list of drives, and only opens when you press the Enter key. Which,
well, on the Mac, when you're talking about a similar example, you have the Finder, and there are different view modes in the Finder, and they all do work with VoiceOver. It's more up to the personal preference, like
it's
whether
a personal
you like list,
preference thing.
Whether you like some people like list view, some people like column view. I personally like column view. And but they'll all work. So you can try them all out and see which one works for you.
Well,
right, and I know they got the VoiceOver commands. You hit the different numbers. I was reading where you can make your window do the go to different sizes, and then they got the one which says makes it fill the whole screen, which is essentially like maximizing it.
Yeah, but that's actually one thing that's unlike Windows, you don't have to worry about that. Like it's funny when I'm working on something and someone comes in, there's like a whole bunch of windows open on the screen that I don't even know about, because it doesn't like in Windows, a lot of times you had to make sure your window was maximized, or you had to make sure it was in a certain spot, where it doesn't matter as much in VoiceOver about that. So that's not really even something you'll have to worry all that much about.
We're actually nearing the end of the show, everybody. And Mike, I think
we're going to go ahead and let you go, Mike.
Okay, yeah, there be a way Mike, I can hook up with you guys on Skype at some point or something. Or
I'll tell you what, Mike. Why don't we do this? We'll give. We don't want to give personal information like that out here.
Oh, I understand, of course.
So, Mike, keep listening, and you'll get all the contact information for everybody at the end of the show. And you're welcome to contact our guests.
You can contact
us.
Utilize those resources, okay, Mike?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Thanks for calling in.
Great. Thanks.
All right. Bye bye.
All right, so guys, let's start with you, Shane, since you're the new kid on the block. Would you like to go ahead and make any short parting comments and give your contact information?
I would, Daryl. Thank you, and it's been a pleasure being here, and it's been a pleasure being on with Darcy and Holly. I really appreciate you guys. You were a huge inspiration to me as I was becoming a Mac user, and I certainly encourage people to listen to the Screenless Switchers. Daryl, I say this to people. If you're comfortable in Windows and you have no desire to change, stay in Windows. There's nothing wrong with what you're doing as long as you're productive and it's meeting your needs. If you're adventurous and you're ready for a new operating system, I recommend very highly the Mac. I switched cold turkey, and I'm glad I did. You can contact me in a couple of ways. Jack728@gmail.com. I'll go ahead and give that. I don't mind. Jack728@gmail.com. If you want to get me on Skype, I don't mind giving that out either, because I will screen you before I add you. It's It's C-A-D-A-L, Cadal, C-A-D-A-L 728. That's my Skype name. And please visit I'm so used to doing that. Visit my blog spot. I'm sure most of you know how to get to Blogger. It's blindworldblog.blogspot.com. And, of course, the podcast feed is feeds.feedburner.com/BWBP for Blind World Blog and Podcast. So that's how you can get in touch with me, and I'll be glad to help anybody.
Thank you very much, Shane. Go ahead, Holly. What are your parting comments and your contact information for all of us?
Well, we do a couple. Darcy and I do a couple podcasts. The Screenless Switchers, which they've mentioned a couple times, is our Mac podcast. You can find that at www.screenlessswitchers.com. And we also do a general chat podcast, just sort of talk about whatever we feel like, and that's at www.darcyandholly.com. That's called The Darcy and Holly Show. So if anybody has any questions, they can email. And you can also email us if you want to email us questions or whatever. Our email address is show@skewandtheswitchers.com.
And I would also say that for the sake of security, we are not tweeting email addresses.
Right.
A friend of mine pointed that out, so we're not doing it.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Okay.
If you guys want to follow me on Twitter, my username is DHS Holly too. So.
What was that?
DHS Holly.
DHS Holly.
Like DHS capitalized and Holly and the H in Holly capitalized.
Gotcha. All
right. And I think we lost Darcy. I don't know if he'd want his Twitter information given out or not. So.
All right. Well, we've got both of your websites in here.
Yeah.
I know Darcy's had some internet connectivities. Issues, so okay, well, thank you guys all very much for coming on the show. You can reach Jeff Bishop at which website you want to give, thedesertskies.com, I suppose.
Yeah, that's fine, although it's not being updated very much lately, but
yeah, but it's got the information
you can get a hold of me there. Yep.
Right,
or just email mainmenu@acbradio.org, and that
absolutely
works too.
I run the Blind Access Journal blog and podcast. My contact information is available along with all sorts of accessibility evangelism information over at blindaccessjournal.com. We can also talk about the Main Menu mailing list. If you'd like to subscribe to that, please do so. You can discuss the topics from tonight's show or anything related to technology from a blindness perspective. Go ahead and send a message to main-menu-subscribe@googlegroups.com. main-menu-subscribe@googlegroups.com. Darcy, Holly, and Shane, thank you very much for coming on tonight.
See everybody
next. Thanks for having us.
See everybody next week. Thanks again, Holly. And yeah. Shane.
Thanks for having us, Jeff.
You're so quiet, Shane, it's hard to tell when you're there.
Well, I'm here.
There you go. All right. Good night, everybody. We'll talk to everybody next week.
If you would like to contact the Main Menu production team or panel of experts heard this evening on Main Menu Live, then simply send an email to mainmenu@acbradio.org. That's mainmenu@acbradio.org. If you have suggestions for topics or you have questions that you would like to have addressed on a future edition of Main Menu Live, then email us and we'll do what we can to answer them or cover your suggested topics on a future Main Menu Live. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us next week on ACB Radio Mainstream for another Main Menu Live.